So I remember we were putting together this message on the wait. I remember a night when my father, my son Wynn, and I were driving home from Florida, and we spent the night with my brother in Goldsboro, North Carolina. It was not a great night of sleep. You ever have one of those? My father was up with indigestion. For the life of me, it sounded like he was having a cardiac arrest. And he's like, you were up a lot, Dad. He's like, oh yeah, I had a stomach ache. I'm like, man, I was ready to call 911. I got the couch, and the cushions were so soft that during the night, I took the cushions off the couch and put them on the floor. And it was a little bit better, but not much. I remember sitting on the couch about 5 in the morning. I was next to an open window, and the breeze was coming in, and the sun was coming up. The night was finally over, and first light brought hope for a better day. It reminds me of the psalm we've already considered this morning, Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. And if you've ever worked the graveyard shift, you know that watchmen are very eager for the morning to come. It means their work is over and maybe they can get some sleep and some breakfast. So to prepare us to celebrate the coming or advent of Jesus, today we begin our series called The Wait. We all know about waiting, right? Two of our children are flying home from a vacation in Europe, and we got a text yesterday that said, we missed our connecting flight. They were in London and Heathrow, and their plane back to America was out of Amsterdam, and their flight went without them. And so there was weather in both Holland and England, and so they were scrambling. They eventually got a bus, which was on a ferry. They made it. They are in the air, but we were eagerly waiting to hear that they made their flight. I'm glad to report that they did. Sometimes, again, we wait for something good, like a wedding or a vacation or a visit with our family. Sometimes we wait for something unpleasant to end, maybe a course of treatment or an illness or a conflict with someone that we care about. And sometimes it seems like nothing is happening, like nothing is going on, and no progress is being made. But just because we can't see any progress being made doesn't mean that nothing is happening. In fact, God may be at work behind the scenes. He may be working in us. He may be working in someone else. Waiting is not wasted when we're waiting on God. The children of Abraham were waiting for the Messiah. Messiah is a Hebrew word that means the anointed or the chosen one. Translated into Greek, we call it the Christ or Christos. And they were waiting for the Messiah, the descendant of David, who would come and lead the nation out of captivity and into another golden age. He would be the answer to all of their problems. In the last chapter of the last book of the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophet Malachi gets specific about the day of the Lord, the day of His coming. Now, before I read from Malachi chapter 4, I want us to understand the vantage point, their vantage point, looking ahead at the Christ event. They saw it as a single unit. Looking back from our vantage point, we see that the Christ event happens in two different stages. There's the beginning of the Christ event when He becomes incarnate, when He takes on flesh, when Jesus leaves the Father's side to become one of us. He lives among us and reveals the Father to us through His life and His teaching. He lays down His life to buy our freedom from sin, to break the power of sin and death, and then he rises again. Stage one. Then we are looking forward to stage two when Jesus will return and he will hand out justice, as we'll see in our passage. And he will also bring complete healing to those who put their faith in Christ. So here's how the Hebrew Scriptures end in Malachi chapter 4. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. And see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. A lot there. Let's take a moment to unpack this. In our world filled with evil and suffering, we are glad that our God is a God who brings justice, who punishes those who cause human suffering. That's one side of the coin. The other side, by contrast, is bright with hope. The sun will rise with healing in its wings. And for those of us who live in Western New York, we know the beauty of sunshine. We see so little of it. Even in the winter, I can take the cold if the sun is out. So the day of Christ, on that day, first light brings hope and healing. And like calves finally let out of the barn in spring, will frolic in the pasture. What a day. Glorious day that will be. And lastly, the coming of the Messiah will be preceded by the prophet Elijah, one who will speak for God like Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. He will fulfill the words of Isaiah 40 that Tricia read for us, preparing the way for the Lord. The king is coming to visit us. The last thing we want to happen is for it to hit a pothole and lose one of the tires, one of the wheels. And so we have to prepare the highway and make ready the coming of the Lord. So after painting this amazing picture of the future, the children of Abraham waited another 400 years. History tells us that in those years, the Greeks conquer the promised land, the Jews briefly take it over again, and then the Romans conquer the entire Mediterranean world, setting the scene for the New Testament. Caesar Augustus rules the Roman Empire and has appointed Herod to be king of Judea. And being occupied by these foreign powers only heightened their longing for deliverance, for the deliverer, for the Messiah. 400 years of waiting for God to fulfill his prophecies and to keep his promises. 400 years of trying to keep the faith and pass it on to the next generation. 400 years of looking for the one who will be the answer to all of our problems. And it must have been hard. There are no other prophets or biblical prophets mentioned in that time, that interlude. And I think if I was living then, I might ask myself, is the plan still on? Has God abandoned us? Is he even there? Have we wasted all this time waiting for him to act? And again, I want to suggest that waiting is not wasted when we are waiting on God. How many of you would say you're really very good at waiting? Got two hands. I have a confession to make. I am horrible at waiting. When I was a kid, I was one of those kids that would snoop to find presents. And sometimes I did, and it made Christmas morning a little less fun. But I do not like to wait. Tim earlier read to us from Romans chapter 5, and I think that's such a great passage because it reminds us that if we keep our hearts tender before God, if we participate with the Holy Spirit, God can use our time of waiting, even our time of suffering, to shape us. It's painful, but to shape us. For we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, and this is the unexpected part, what does character produce? Hope. Hope. I didn't see that one coming. And the rest of the verse that he didn't read is that this hope does not disappoint us because what happened? God has poured out his Holy Spirit into our lives. Isn't that a great passage? So our waiting is not wasted if we're waiting with God. If we allow God to use these circumstances in our lives to shape us, to build perseverance and character and hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his Holy Spirit into our lives. So we'll be honest and say that waiting is hard, right? Again, whether we're waiting for good things to come, really hard things to end. Waiting is not wasted when we're waiting on God. And while we wait, God is at work. Sometimes we get impatient and want to speed up the timetable. Anybody guilty of that? Like, come on! But sometimes when we push ahead or try to speed up the timetable, you know, we might interfere with what God is trying to do. So the Hebrew scripture ended with this prophecy from Malachi that the day is coming, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ's coming. They were waiting for the sun to rise with healing in its rays. And after all these years of waiting, something finally happens. We read about it in the beginning of Luke chapter 1. Something really small and seemingly insignificant. It affects only one couple living around Jerusalem. The Gospel of Luke opens with the story of a priest named Zechariah. And he and his wife Elizabeth knew the hard reality of waiting. Despite many years of praying and hoping for a child, they were unable to conceive. And as we join the story, they were old and beyond childbearing years. It happened that Zechariah's group, family group, was called to serve at the temple. And it happened, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that Zechariah was the one priest chosen to enter the holy place, to put out the showbread, to do a little bit of work there. But it was a very unusual circumstance, which became even more unusual when an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Who saw that coming? But the story of God is continuing. We read this in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And he would have known the prophecy of Malachi, and when that phrase there, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He would have heard the prophecy of Malachi. He would have heard those great words of Isaiah chapter 40, prepare the way of the Lord, and known that this long-awaited son was the next stage of God fulfilling this promise. And so it has begun. And this child who will grow to be called John the Baptizer is the one prophesied, the one to prepare the way for God's own son. We haven't even gotten to the birth of Jesus yet, and already we see that Christmas is a season of longing, of anticipation, of waiting for what is to come. And as Israel longed for its Savior, as Elizabeth and Zechariah longed for a child, as you and I long for the return of Jesus and for everything to be set right once and for all, we wait. But what gives us hope as we wait? God works while we wait. And while we're waiting, it often feels like nothing is going on. But that does not mean that God is not working, that He is not active. During those 400 years, God was working through history, through difficult circumstances, to prepare His people. So much of the waiting is preparation so that we're ready to receive the promise when it comes. So it's not an automatic thing as we wait. It's not automatic that we will be prepared, that we will be participating with the Holy Spirit, that God will be doing a new work in us. We have some choices to make. Will we, in our waiting, become angry and bitter? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to put His finger on something that needs to be changed? During this Advent journey, have confidence that in God's timing, in every situation, while we wait with God, and we allow God to work in us. Paul said it in his Galatian letter, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Maybe you are in a season of waiting. I suspect that we all are. Maybe you are discouraged, or maybe you've given up. But just because you can't see what God is doing doesn't mean that He isn't doing anything. So be honest with God about how you're feeling. Acknowledge that God sees more than you can see. You ever have that sense when you're praying that God knows more than you do? You know, really, though. Like when you're praying for somebody, maybe you're praying for one of your kids or praying for a friend. You tell God what you want, but I always say, but let's be honest, God, you know more than I do. You see things I cannot see. You see the past in a way that I can't see. You see the present in a way that I can't. You know the future. Your desires for this person are greater than my desires. I just want them to be happy. You want them to be holy. And so, you know, take my prayer with a grain of salt. If you have a better idea, we're going with your idea. While you wait, ask God to do His work in you. Become the person that He made you to be. Let's pray together. Will you join me? Father, we want to be honest with You and say we often do not enjoy waiting. Part of it comes from living in a sin-twisted world. Part of it comes from the decisions that other people make. Part of it might be consequences of our own choices. And part of it might be just that the time isn't right. So as we wait, will You give us courage and patience and grace. As we wait for others to respond to you in life-giving ways, be at work in them, we pray. In situations that seem hopeless, do what only you can do. And we do wait for the return of Christ to finish what he has begun. We pray that in this broken world there would be justice, that you would make things right. We pray that the sun would rise with healing in its rays, that when Jesus returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the old order of things will pass away. And all that is broken will be healed. All of our sorrows will be turned to joy. And in the meantime, we want to do life with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit into our lives so that our time of waiting won't be wasted. Help us not to become bitter as we wait, but to be humbled, to trust you, even when we can't see how things are going to turn out. Thank you that your story didn't end with the prophecy of Malachi, but that you set things into motion. Thank you for sending your Son. And our Lord Jesus, thank you for coming, becoming one of us, entering into our crazy world in love. So use the season of Advent, we pray, to prepare us. May we be ready to celebrate with full hearts the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen.